Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Blog Talk Radio.
Contra Radio Network. Preparedness Radio. With your host, John Jeffers.
And good evening, John Jeffers here, your host, founder, executive producer here at the Contra Radio Network. Welcome you to another Sunday night show. Tonight, I want to talk to you about a couple things. You know, Sunday night, I don't like to take a lot of time on Sunday night because people got to get up tomorrow morning, they got to work and all that stuff. Some people who work the midnight shift are already at work and they do listen to the show. You know, last week we were talking about a question from one of our listeners, Lou, in the United Kingdom. And as you remember, well, they have national gun control. And she had a great question. What do preppers like me, who can't get access to firearms, supposed to use for weapons? Well, guess what? Lisa and Dale from Survivalist Prepper had an article that I glommed onto a couple days ago. And it talks about alternate weapons for preppers. Well, some of this is going to seem like common sense to a lot of you, and we're going to get to that. I see Kamal Mike has logged into the chat room. If you'd like to call in and opine, the number is 516-453-9389. Okay. Other thing we're going to talk about is an article I found from shtfplan.com. And what the article about really is about an EMP attack and nuclear war, that our biggest security threat is not from North Korea, Russia, or China. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I'd like to see what they've got to say about it. And with that with that said, even though I talk about some of the things, it doesn't always mean that I agree with what they're saying. That goes, that's true for all of us. We hear things, we say things. Some stuff we hear, we're like, yeah, okay, we don't always agree with it. But you know what? I'm willing to give them their say. And that's what we're going to do. There is no redundancy when it comes to keeping aware of significant happenings that can trigger a war. Now, in this light, that would be the trigger factor, or what would be the trigger factor? Would this lead to a nuclear exchange? What would be the result after an exchange does occur? Where would the nation stand, and how after an EMP, and for you new preppers, that's electromagnetic pulse, an EMP attack, and or limited nuclear war? Okay, all these are difficult questions to answer. Cato the Elder ended his speeches on the floor of the Roman Senate with Carthago delenda est, translating into Carthage must be destroyed. To utilize his technique of impressing such upon his audience, here is the personal caveat that he would repeat wholeheartedly. And this is written by Jeremiah Johnson in September 13th. So it's only a little over a week ago. So, a war would be kicked off with an EMP weapon detonated over the continental United States, then a nuclear exchange, resulting in a world war. Okay. If you're going to ask, why would it be kicked off with an EMP? The EMP is going to knock out your electrical grid, burn out your electronics. If that happens first, it makes it very difficult for a retaliatory response. However, President Reagan back in the 80s, and his staff knew about this. They went to Congress. They appropriated the funds to what we would call hardwire or harden military installations. So, but that's what, that's what they're thinking, I'm guessing. All right. Now, that being mentioned, the North Koreans detonated another nuclear device of a greater size than previous tests. This particular test was their fifth, and they conducted it on Friday, September 9th, right after Obama left China for the G20 summit held there. A Pyongyang newscaster was quick to trumpet the success of the test as such. We successfully conducted a nuclear explosion test to determine the power of the nuclear warhead. We will continue to strengthen our nuclear capabilities to protect our sovereignty. We have now standardized and minimized nuclear warheads. We can now produce small nuclear warheads anytime we desire. That was from North Korean state television. Now, the U.S. Geological Survey reported that the aftershock from the explosion left a 5.3 magnitude seismic tremor. Estimates of the size of the nuclear device range from 20 to 30 kilotons. The atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were 15 and 21 kilotons, respectively. Therefore, the latest North Korean test falls well within the range of being able to take out a city. The estimate came from Jeffrey Lewis, the director of the East Asia Non-Proliferation Program, in an interview with the Washington Post. Now, the biggest threat doesn't simply come with North Korea, however. The larger threat is the climate of disbelief fostered by naysayers that denigrates North Korea's capabilities and efforts, leading to a relaxed, complacent posture. Now, as much as North Koreans have been testing SLBMs, that's submarine launch ballistic missiles, medium-range missiles, satellite launches, and nuclear tests, there is plenty of evidence to support their claims of nuclear warhead miniaturization capabilities. One good example of such a naysayer of miniaturization that shows the folly of such, though, is the statement by Melissa Hannum of the Middlebury Institute of International Studies in California as follows. We would need to see it tested on a missile like China did in the 1960s. Nobody wants to see that. There's no way they could do that test in a safe way, and they could easily start a war. Now, get this. She is listed as an expert on North Korea. Thanks for nothing, really. Basically, she stated that they'll be able to verify it, the miniaturization and the effectiveness, after it has been put to use in a war. Hey, brilliant. Brilliant. And to think, you know, there are people out there that actually listen to this person. Oh, my. Oh, my. I can't even think about it anymore. True story. True story. I always like to get the true story alert. During my interview, I'll get back to that. I'll get back to that because we'll get back to it. So Monday, September 5th, is when the North Koreans tested three medium-range ballistic missiles just as all the leaders were gathered for the G20 summit. The interesting thing to note here is that the aforementioned Jeffrey Lewis also works for the Middlebury Institute, and his assessment is more of a warning than his colleagues. He said the following to Reuters. That's the largest DPRK, that's the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, that's North Korea, test to date, 20 to 30 kilotons at least. Not a happy day. The important thing is that five tests in, they now have a lot of nuclear test experience. They aren't a backwards state anymore. Now, Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. Now, Terry and I have talked about Dr. Pry and his tour of the United States over last year. We talked about him, if you remember. Now, Dr. Pry, cited in numerous previous articles, is the foremost expert on EMP threats to the United States. Dr. Pry's information regarding potential threat nations stems from his years as an analyst for the CIA, and he maintains close ties with the agency as well as serving on the various EMP threat commissions that brief Congress annually. Dr. Pry has indicated that the nation of North Korea and Iran both hold a military doctrine of nuclear first strikes against America by employment of an EMP. I'm going to say it again because I want it to sink in here. Dr. Pry is not your crank that's on the internet. Dr. Pry is an extremely intelligent man. His years of experience has led him to this conclusion. Dr. Pry has indicated the nations of North Korea and Iran both hold a military doctrine of nuclear first strikes against America by employment of an EMP device above the continental United States. His detailed analysis can be referenced and downloaded by visiting the sites with the EMP threat briefings he has given to Congress from 2006 through 2010. Now, the other consideration here is that to deliver an EMP, it is no longer necessary to detonate a nuclear warhead in the megaton ranges. A low-yield nuclear device can generate the EMP, and the North Koreans have been stating very publicly, mind you, that they will attack the United States in such a manner. Elias Grohl of Foreign Policy magazine wrote a piece entitled, "This is how North Korea will get its nukes past American missile defense systems," showing how the THAAD anti-ballistic missile system can be circumvented by launching multiple missiles simultaneously to confuse the system's radar. The North Koreans aren't playing around. I had to get a drink from my RC. Love RC. Better than Coke and Pepsi, in my opinion. Anyways, let's get back to it. Now, 2 days prior to the nuclear test on Wednesday, September 7th, a DOS, a denial of service attack, came electronically against the project on crowdsourced satellite imagery. This organization monitors nuclear sites and nuclear weapons and their storage facilities around the world. It sells its services to governments. You can read more about this in the article entitled DOS Attack Crashes Website Monitoring North Korea's Nuclear Test Site by Eric Niler of Wired.com. Guess who else is involved in this one? Melissa Harhan, again. So here's an excerpt of the article giving her thoughts on the negated monitoring as the server handling the satellite information was taken down by hackers prior to North Korea busting a nuke. It's suspicious timing. It's also really frustrating. We are restarting, and our security company is looking into as much information about the attack. We are going to get it up as soon as possible. Okay, let me tell you something. This instills a vote of no confidence across the board. Would it be merely suspicious and frustrating if in the blink of an eye we morph into Fortune's novel 1 second after as a result of an EMP? What happened with this monitoring station shows how easily and by the exact method the North Korean EMP will be accomplished. Now, hackers will take down the monitoring station servers before the EMP is dumped out, preventing an effective response to stop it. Numerous websites and sources have revealed that during the exercises conducted in Hawaii in GRID-X 2014, where the Russians and Chinese participated with U.S. troops, our defenses for EMP and nuclear threats were exposed. Say it ain't so, really? I don't know. That's a whole different disappointment I don't want to go into right now. Our cybersecurity has been compromised for some time. How would it be determined who hacked into the systems after an EMP had struck the United States? North Korea is not a joke anymore, and their threat becomes more visible and viable by the day. So that is the extent of Mr. Johnson's article. What do you think? Does he have a point? The fact that he brought Dr. Pry, to me, in my mind, leads credence to this article. If Dr. Pry is sounding the alarm, and yet here's Congress, as usual, more worried about them getting themselves reelected than worrying about the fate of our nation. And that's a good point, too, because let me tell you something. I did an interview not too long ago with Thorndike Barnes, T.D. Barnes. And actually, it was about 2 years ago. You can find it in the archives. You can download it. You can listen to it. One of the things that T.D. said, now, bear in mind, T.D. was a Cold War warrior. He worked at Area 51 during the Cold War. It was his team that got a chance to break down the Soviet MiGs and find out their capabilities. In fact, he wrote a book about it called MiGs Over Nevada. One of the because I was asking him specifically, because I was reading some of his books, and I asked him specifically about, the Chinese and an EMP. He said, look, he says, we know that a lot of the Chinese satellites are not what the Chinese say they are. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, first of all, we can plot the Chinese satellites' orbit. Generally, the orbits go east to west. I'm sorry, correction, west to east. My mistake. And then he said, but the Chinese orbits go north to south. I said, north to south? He says, yes. Because if they go north to south, they get more time over the United States and in order to detonate an EMP. I said, are you saying that there are nuclear devices on these satellites? And he said, yeah. He says, that's exactly what I'm saying. So when the North Koreans are screaming about how they're going to hit the, you know, they're gaming out the EMP attack. And if you're going to, just was it 3 weeks ago, they got their missile to be able, the range to hit the western coast of the United States. And let's face it, with nuclear weapons, you don't have to be on target. You can be close and still get what you want to get. So you don't have to worry about the guidance system. You just got to get it within the ballpark. And I'm going to keep an eye on see whatever Mr. Johnson continues to write. I think that's an interesting article. I think the fact that we have some people who are just in denial about the North Koreans' abilities, it makes me wonder just how safe we really are. It makes me start to think, you know what, being the prepper is the right thing to do. Let's face it. Look, I'm not going to trash Miss Hamhen. Oh, gosh, I can't even say it. I'm getting tongue-twisted here. But if there are people like her that are supposed to be in these think tanks, does that really give you confidence or say a feeling of safety? It doesn't for me. And I guarantee you there are a lot of people in government service that have the same mental capacity and mental attitude that she has. Not enough people are listening to people like Dr. Pry. Just something I wanted to put out there. Well, we got a caller. Let's see who we got here. Hello, caller. How are you?
Hey, John. It's Travis down here in Texas.
Travis Fleming, ladies and gentlemen.
How's it going?
Pretty good. We were just discussing EMP and nuclear strikes and their effects of how they would probably be carried out by the North Koreans. How have you been?
I've been well, been busy. So okay. Working the candle at burning the candle at both ends, so to speak.
Let me tell you, for the listening audience, Mr. Fleming makes knives. He has graciously offered to donate a knife here for at CRN to help us raise some funds and whatnot. And he says, "I I'd love to be able to come on, but I've got to get some of the other things taken care of." I said, "It's not a problem. You come on the show anytime you want to come on," because he wanted to take advantage of the offer I made. If you have a prepper store or you sell prepper products, you come on the show for 3 to 5 minutes, tell us what you got for free. And Mr. Fleming was kind enough to say, "I don't have a store, but I make knives." I said, "Good enough for me."
Yeah, it's always good. I've been listening to your show for quite a while now. I think about since you got started. And
really?
So I was more than happy to donate, and hopefully it can help you out a little bit. And
mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Every little bit helps. I don't turn them away.
I don't. I don't blame you. I don't either.
But if somebody says, "I want to help," okay, you're in. Not a problem.
Yeah.
Tell me about the knife. I posted some pictures that you sent me. It's like, this knife looks – look, people, if you go see the pictures, the knife, it doesn't look sexy. What it looks like is that this knife will gut you. If it had the chance, if it had a life of its own, it would gut you, laugh, and run away and do it to others. That's how.
Yeah. So
it's a good looking knife.
So this, well, I appreciate it. So the knife that I'm donating, although I do a lot of kind of high end fancy knives, this one is a kind of no frills model. I just call it a basic camp knife. And it's pretty heavy duty. It's 3/16 steel, 01 tool steel. And it's kind of a weight forward design, so it's good for chopping. And of course, it's not a really, really huge knife, but it is it's meant for doing intermediate tasks out in the field and stuff like that. And I have one pretty much the same model. It's the same shape and everything that I use on all my camping trips. And it's designed for doing it's great for doing taking out camping, doing light, you know, batoning some wood and stuff like that. It works really good. But it's a 01 tool steel, and it's hardened about 60 on the Rockwell scale. So it's going to, you know, hold its edge real good. It's you know, going to serve its purpose, and it's not going to dull out on you real easy. The
nice.
Wood on that one was curly mango. So it's got a real pretty wood to it. Nice leather sheath. So it's just a good all-around durable knife that's not going to fail you.
There you go. Now, if you want to do this, all right, tell you what you can do.
Uh-huh.
This is easy, guys. This is how. Let's do it this way. Let's make it easy. Listeners, you want this knife. I'm going to post the pictures again on the CRN Facebook page at the end of the show. In fact, I may do it during the show, depending on what we got going. I'm going to post the pictures. You like this knife. You want this knife. You know. You heard it from the maker right here, right now. This is the prepper knife you're probably going to want because it's not going to wear out on you. Like I said, it doesn't look sexy, but it's going to do the job, and it's going to keep doing the job. And that's what you want. Okay? So let's do it this way. You want the knife. I want you to email me at contraradio@live.com, your name, contact information, and just put the word knife in the subject header. October 19th, draw a name. We'll see what happens with it. Now, because we're supposed to be a nonprofit, so we can do raffles. I haven't made a profit in 2 years doing this thing. In fact, I've lost lots of money doing it. So, I have. It's true. It's true. I got three donors on Patreon.com, and they donate between $2 and $5 a month. You know.
Yeah.
So you know what I'm going to do? You know what? This is what I want to become a Patreon donor. Patreon.com/ContraRadio Network. And I'll tell you what. We'll put the donors. I'm going to do this for donors. I don't just want to do it for anybody else. For donors, you donate. We put you in the raffle. Bang. We'll go ahead. We'll pull your name. If you're a donor on Patreon.com, not only will you get into the raffle for the knife, I'll send you a pocket-sized edition of the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. All you got to do is donate anywhere from $2 to $5. That's all I ever ask. And I've got over 8,000 listeners. If I could have 8,000 of those listeners donate $2 a month, I'd be golden.
Yeah.
I would. Let's be honest. I would.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
It would. I could buy a lot more time here on the radio. I could buy premium packages and put stuff really together. But as it is, I got three people, and I love those three people. They, you know, like I said, every month, it's only $2 to $5 a month. I'm not asking for the big money. Give me $2 to $5. I'll do the diamond. I'll do the nickel drop every month. That's okay. That helps out. That works. So there you go. ContraRadioLive.com.
Yeah, every little bit helps.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It does. And I have one listener, and I won't say who he is because he's a goof, and I love the guy. He's a riot, and he's front, and he lives in Texas, which cracks me up even more. But he donates $1.95 every month. $1.95. He cracks me. I love the guy. He cracks me up. But hey, guess who I got on the line? I got Julie on the line. Hey, Julie, you there?
Right. Yep, I'm here. I'm just going to listen. My computer's still being wonky, so.
All right. Well, I got Mr. Fleming here from Texas. Master knife maker. But yeah, you can listen in.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'm big into knives.
Are you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a big collection. Lots of sharp points on my wall.
Mr. Fleming, have you got a website for your knives?
Yes, it's flemingsfabrications.net, and it's FLEMINGS fabrications.net.
Writing it down right now. I'm going to put a link on the CRN Facebook page to your website. So people that would like, you know, maybe they don't want to get in on the free knife. Maybe they'd like to, you know, look at your catalog, see your work, and, you know, do it that way. Maybe get some orders for you that way, too.
Hey, that'll work.
Yeah, I would like-
and to anybody listening out there, it's most of what I do is custom orders. So I don't always have generally a lot in stock. It's usually made to order. So if you do have something in mind, feel free. Just give me a call, shoot me an email. And that's most of the knives I do are custom made to order. So.
Oh, really? Well, let me ask
you
this.
Yes, sir.
What's the price range for a custom made knife?
Oh, it can go anywhere. I would say the base, the lowest is going to be probably around 150 and going up to, I got a couple I'm going to have finished tomorrow. They're going out for 1,000 each. So,
wow.
So just depending on, yeah. So just depending on, you know, what exactly you're interested in, how many, you know, little extra details you want into it, custom engraving, things like that. The price can build up, but, most of my knives are around the $150 to $250 range.
Okay.
That's not too bad for a good knife. I've got...
No, it
isn't. I got a Puma White Hunter that I think is two generations old now. It was my husband's, and it was his grandfather's. His grandfather's. And you can't... it's in excellent shape, and I think... they paid $200 or $300 for it, you know, two generations ago. I don't know how old it is, like 50s. But,
you know, yeah, that company's been around a while, so that's, yeah, it's possible.
They last. It's one of the first ones, so. But they last,
oh,
and
wow.
It keeps an edge, and it does everything. So, it's worth putting that money into a knife, especially when you. When you rely on them so much in our type of situations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah, something like that. That if you look at the typical person's bug out bag or what have you, anything in their survival gear, that's always any website you go to. That's always one of the top things people say. Get you a good knife, and that's also an area where a lot of people kind of cheap out on a little bit and try to get something. And I understand you want to try to get something within your budget, but, having a really good knife that's going to last. I mean, that's something you can pass down to your grandkids, you know?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. You know what? I'm going to have to think about this and maybe ask you to make a CRN knife, Contrario Network knife.
Well, we can do that.
I was just thinking, you can do anything. If you can make knives, you are the man.
You suck, because then I have to buy it. So.
Well,
not fair.
Well, we could get one for Ladies of the Watch, too. Why can't go into your show? Oh, don't say that.
We can do that.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to get me to buy knives. That's the problem.
Well,
no.
You can't buy
oh,
your knife.
That's my kind of woman right there.
There you go. Oh, no, don't
tell her that. I got swords and knives and size and sharp arrow things, and, yeah, I'm more of the sharp pointy thing than the bang-bang thing.
Yeah.
Hey, up
but
close and personal.
Yeah.
Definitely up close and personal. Okay, Mr. Fleming, I went ahead and put your website on the Contrario Network Facebook page already. While Julie was talking,
okay.
We got it on there. Looks good. Got the slideshow for it. All that good stuff. So if you're listening, if you want to see what Mr. Fleming can do, go to the CRN Facebook page. You can see the slideshow. It's on there now. You can it says like 5 or 6 slides. See what kind of work this guy does. I'm telling you, it's craftsmanship. It's not mass production. It's not going to be made in, you know, 2 or 3 days and shipped out. These things take time. Quality takes time. You know that. I know that. If you're looking for a good knife, we got ourselves a knife maker. Here, Contrario Network. He will do it. And you know what? It'll be done right. You won't be returning that knife because the blade broke or it's a piece of garbage. You're going to get a good quality piece of equipment that you're going to need and use for years, especially if the grid goes down. You're going to want a good solid knife. Am I right,
well,
Mr. Fleming?
Yes, and I appreciate the kind words there. So,
no, sir.
Yeah, it's something that, yeah, if situation does get ugly out there, yeah, that's not something that you're going to want a little cheap Walmart knife.
Well,
to have to rely on, you know.
Piece of garbage made in China? I don't think so.
Yeah.
All right.
Get me a
I'm
good
looking
knife.
Now. Holy
Are you looking?
Smokes. All right. Yes. You suck. This really sucks. I love. Holy smokes. I have one like that one.
Well, there you go. See, folks, it does work. Now, Mr. Fleming.
Oh, yeah. They're
been a
beautiful.
Lot.
Well, thank you.
Wood. You suck. I'm sorry. You suck. Well, I know where my next paycheck's going. Thank you.
I know. After talking to Mr. Fleming here, I got an idea where part of my pension check is going too. He's gonna get a piece of it.
Well, you know, you just let me know if you want to do a knife for the show. I bet we could work something out. Probably work in, you know, get a logo on the knife, and
that'd be great.
Yeah, we could definitely do something like that and get you taken care of. So,
do you make tiger claw knives by any chance?
No, I hadn't done any of that.
Okay,
so
that's fine.
Yeah,
most of what I do is
your basic hunting skinning knives. I do some bushcraft models. I do some larger camp knives, and then I do a few buoys and fighting knives and stuff like that. So,
okay, all right, listeners, if you want to see a Contrario Network knife being offered by Mr. Fleming, what I want you to do is this, okay? We're going to have some fun with this. Email me again at contrarioatlive.com saying, CRN knife, I'd be interested in looking at getting one of those. I'm going to forward that email to Mr. Fleming so he can see how popular he's going to become.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Well,
can I put him on my page too, my other page?
Go ahead.
Yeah, by all means. Let's help. Look, the man is helping us out here on CRN, and like I said, I never turn down help. I say we help him in return. Now, in case you don't realize, now, Mr. Fleming, I have not announced this to anybody. I just announced, I kind of hinted it at Julie today when we were chatting.
Okay.
One of the things that's coming on, listeners, is CRN is being, let's put this, not heavily supported, but being publicized by Mike Norris. He is the director and co-writer of the movie Armageddon. Now, we are going to be selling Armageddon, the film, on Contra Radio Network. We're working that out right now. It's going to be sold alongside the T-shirts. The theme is this. I would love for you. You know, I'm going to get a hold of Mike. I want him to take a look at your knives. I want to see if, because he's in Texas right now filming. They're writing another film. They're going to be filming shortly to see if he can't get one of your knives in on the movie. I think that'd be really cool.
Oh. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So I'll tell you what, if you don't mind, could I give Mike your contact information? And, you know, in case Mike says, yeah, I think we could work this out, that would be great. If that's okay,
yeah,
with you.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, completely okay. Yeah, that'd be cool. I've been looking forward to seeing the movie. That was a good show y'all did last week with the interview with him. So.
Oh, yeah. He's a good guy. He it was his idea for us to start selling his movie. He came to us, and he loves the show. He listens to the show. Again, he called us Wednesday. He wasn't supposed to call in. Normally, he lets us know. And like an hour into the show, he called in and said, I can't help it. I want to call in. Okay. So, you know, but I'll text him tomorrow morning and tell him what we have and let him, you know, see what he can do with it. But, yeah, he's a great guy. He's not your typical, he was not raised in your typical Hollywood fashion that you'd think that he was. His mom and dad pretty much kept him in line. If you're, you know, heard the story about him throwing a party and mouthing off to his dad, which I still don't understand that at all. Your dad's Chuck Norris, and your mouth
pretty gutsy.
that's pretty damn stupid.
Yeah.
but I understand. But, you know, I started laughing. I talked to him the day after, Thursday. I said, just so you know, your pain and suffering growing up, that's our entertainment. We love listening to it. And he started laughing about it. But, you know, he's a down-to-earth guy. What you see is what you get. He really is a down-to-earth guy. But so I'll ask him, see if we can maybe ask Mike to maybe get a look at your website. Maybe one of the characters in the movie could be carrying your knife or something. And, you know, whatever. I just thought I'd throw it out there, see if Mike would be interested in doing that. So
yeah, that'd be cool.
Anyway, I think it'd be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I just popped
that'd
it
be
up.
Awesome.
So we'll see what they say.
You talked to who?
I got up on Conflicted.
Oh, really?
Put it on my page, yeah. We'll see what they say.
No. There you go.
They're pretty, they're not shy about telling you what they think.
Oh, no, they are.
I'm on that page as well, so, yeah.
There you go. You beat me to it. Just in case you didn't know what Julie was doing or what she does the Conflicted what would you do scenarios on Facebook. So, but you already know about that. So,
yeah,
961 members right now.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people.
Now they get to see your stuff. So thank you for
good.
See what we can get out of there.
There you go. There it is. Excellent.
Thanks.
Well, why wouldn't we do it for you? You're helping us out.
Why not, in our community,
we got to help ourselves. We have to help each other out. We have to help each other out.
I have
we
to
do.
Put it there so I don't lose it, so I can get one with my next paycheck.
We have Red Dirt Walker, Foil Hat Soldier, also in the chat room, and they're quiet. Kamo Mike was in, but now he's out again. I don't know. So that's all right. That's okay. In the meantime, anything else you want to add, Mr. Fleming?
No, that's it. One thing I was going to say to the listeners, if you are interested in something and you want to see what I have available, I do keep my Facebook page up to date a lot more. You know, you know how easy it is to update a Facebook page, you know, rather than trying to go in and update a website. So my Facebook page is usually 100% up to date with what I have in inventory. My website sometimes lags a little bit. So Facebook is probably the best way to see kind of what I have, some of the new designs I'm working on and things like that.
And that's under Fleming's Fabrications as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good, sir. Very good. All right. Most excellent. I am so glad you called in. We'll see what we can.
I'm glad I got a chance to. I've been busy the last few weeks, so finally get a chance to sit down a little bit.
I guess so. I like it. That's nice. I'm glad you got the time to call in, because I'll tell you, it's like, man, I wonder what's going on with Travis. Oh, he'll get a hold of me when he can, and that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, two full-time jobs, pretty much. You know, this started as a hobby, and so I still have my day job, and then I do this. I'm doing this probably 40 hours a week as well. So,
wow.
So between the two, I don't have a whole lot of free time every now and then. But
well, if you love it and you're doing what you love, it's not work.
Right.
That's true. And it started as a hobby, and it is something that I love, and it's been growing over the last year or so, and which I'm completely thrilled about, and, you know, hopefully it keeps growing to the point to where, you know, I can go in one day and tell my boss that that's it, so.
There you go. You know, all right, listeners, tell you what. When you go to Mr. Fleming's website and you order a knife, tell him that you heard about him, you heard him on Contra Radio Network, so he knows that, you know, you're a serious prepper. You're not screwing around. That you really want one of his knives, and you know what? You know you're going to get a quality article. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. I see guests.
I appreciate it.
Oh, no, sir.
No, sir. Thank you for calling in. By all means. I got a new guest in the chat room, 2497. So I'm going to send him a greeting saying welcome, or her, as the case may be. I have female listeners, too.
Do you really?
Not as many as you do.
All three of them, huh?
Yeah, you say all three of them. Nice try. I checked your ratings. I know how many people are listening to your show. Don't even start that.
What's our rating? Yeah, I'm still new. That's all right. I got two fire burners on my team. They'll start working it up eventually.
You do. Well, Mr. Fleming, thank you for calling in. I'm not going to drag out the show too long tonight just because it's a Sunday night and people got to get up and work in the morning. But I'm glad you called in. I got your phone number. I'll get a hold of you. I'll either call you or I'll text you, and I'll give you my cell phone number. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can. It's not a problem. I don't know why you would, but if you want to, I'll give you the opportunity anytime you want.
Hey, I'll take it.
I hear you. You know what? And if you come up with a really cool knife design and you want to show it off, by all means, we'll put it on the Facebook page. The pictures, we'll promote it for you. I'll help you out.
Sounds good.
Hey, that's what I'll do. I want to help. And you're helping me, and I'm going to help you. Because we
good
got
deal.
Smart listeners. Mr. Fleming, we got smart listeners on this show. We may not have a lot of them, but I'll take the smart ones. I'll take quality over quantity anytime.
Every time. Yep.
Every time.
So
understood.
If I want, I don't even know how to pronounce them, but I think it's Kukri. They're Indonesian
Kukri
knives.
Kukri, yeah.
Can you do those?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
I've been wanting one for a long time, but the stuff that I see online looks really cheap, and the steel doesn't look really good on most of them.
Yeah, a lot of them online, they're coming over. They're actually from Nepal, a lot of what you've seen online. And it's I can't personally attest to their durability or anything like that, but I have seen some up close and personal, and there are some minor flaws here and there. They're not the best quality looking. They could be astounding in the field. I'm not sure of it. I haven't used one. But if you would like one, yeah, just let me know, size, dimensions, what kind of handle you want, and we'll get you taken care of.
All right.
There you go.
All right. That's
there you
fair
go.
Enough.
There you go, Mr. Fleming. You've been on the air not even 10 minutes, and already you got another customer. There you go.
Hey, I'll take it. I'll take it.
I'll be texting you here shortly, probably tomorrow.
Just let me know.
I got to do a little research on. I didn't know if they came in different sizes. I've got a machete, and I've got a tomahawk, and I've got a few other things, but I want something sort of a little bit shorter.
Okay.
Somewhere in between. So, yeah. That'll be fun. Cool.
All right. Good deal. Good deal.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to add you to my website. I'm going to put you on the guest list on my website. That's where I put all my guests. People who come on CRN, I give them their own page of guests. It's a list with links to their website. So I'm going to do that when the show is over.
I'm good.
So I'm here to help you, man. I want to help you.
Well, hey, I appreciate it. I'll take all the help I can get.
All right, sir. You have a good night. Yes.
Yes, sir. You do the same.
Thank you, sir. Good night. Thank you for calling. And remember, listeners, you heard about Mr. Fleming here. Let him know that you're there. Thanks again.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Good night, sir.
All right.
Good night.
All right. Good night. Bye.
Now, a lot of you are thinking, well, John, you cut him off. No, because my promise was to all the prepper merchants is this. I'm only going to keep you for maybe 3 to 5 minutes for you to tell us what you got, what you want to do. Mr. Fleming contacted me a while ago, and we finally got it together. And you know what? I don't want to use up all his time. That was the deal. I'm not going to make him stay on the air and and plead or beg. No. He's gay on here. He tells us what we got. I got it on the Facebook page. You want a quality knife? That's the man to go see. Period. That's it. A quality knife made for you, personally. Not a piece of junk from Walmart.
Yeah, and if you can choose your handles and choose your style and choose it, there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, it's a quality knife customized for you. You're not going to get the mass marketing thing. So that's important. You, like I said, grid goes down. You're going to need a good, hard quality knife. It's going to last you.
Ladies, in my opinion, that's probably the single most important thing that you can have
in the
field. Skill-wise, for overall, is a good knife. Not a $14 buck knife or anything else. Not that I'm saying they don't have their places, but if you have to rely on it and it snaps off, you're screwed. So
here, let's
Which
put it another
why
way.
I have 42 backups.
Yeah. Hey, no, you know what? We had a saying when I was in the sheriff's office, and it was your equipment. When it comes to your equipment, listeners, how much is your life worth? Is it worth $14? Okay, maybe yours is. Maybe your life
almost
is worth $14. Right. Well, it's $14. Okay, so you got a $14 knife. You're going to get what you pay for.
Right. $14 knife is what you start your kids on.
Yeah.
When but they're eight and they're learning not to cut themselves.
Well, but you also got, you know, you got the $30 quote-unquote survival knives, mass-produced, quality. And who knows?
Well, the ones
I don't know.
The handle and screws, and you can put matches in the handle.
Oh yeah. You got it. I got my fishing line. Okay, that's wonderful. Let me know how that works out for you. I'm not saying it can't be done. What I'm saying is, look, your equipment is for you to use, whether to defend your life, whether to try to make your life a little bit easier. How much is your life worth? Is it worth $14? Then go buy the $14 buck knife.
Well, in its defense, if that's all you can afford right now, get it. You know, it's better than nothing. Just realize that you have to be careful with it. I mean, not everybody can go out and afford, you know, expensive equipment right now. But if you're starting out, you're better off having something and try to get the best quality that you can. But something is better than nothing. That's just my
so be it. Well, there you have it. There it is. Okay. Now, getting back to Lou in the United Kingdom, I found the article from Survivalist Prepper. That's Lisa and Dale for you new people. If you've never heard of Lisa and Dale, check out their show. They're a lot of fun. They're good people. They've been doing this for a long time. I've had them on the show once. I got to get back. I keep forgetting to do that. But for you people that live in the gun-controlled sanctuaries where the government will do all the protecting, you don't have to do anything, and the government has all the weapons, and you feel defenseless, scared, and really pissed off about it, okay, I found this for you. Let's talk about personal protection for self-defense is what first comes to mind for most of us because we understand the need to protect ourselves and our family. And you have hunting, you know, in a, you know, shit hits the fan scenario. Hunting will not be something we do for fun. If we find ourselves without food, we'll be doing everything we can to feed the family. Bear in mind, during the Great Depression, almost 90% of the wild animals in the United States were being eaten. That's massive. And we can only extrapolate that information because they were keeping count of the deer population, and it was vastly deteriorating during the Great Depression because people were starving, they were hunting, you know, squirrels, gophers, whatever they could eat. So, with that said, it's seriousness about that. Collecting and crafting.
And remember that there's more people today than there were back then.
That's right. And so, if you got collecting and crafting, you got some of these primitive skills and weapons can really be a work of art, and learning how to use them can even be more challenging. So it's important to know what the alternatives are because eventually ammo is going to run out. And some people don't want guns. Why? I don't know, but there are people out there like that. And some people can't own guns. Australia, United Kingdom, France. Yeah, in France, we saw how well gun control worked there. It seemed the terrorists had automatic weapons. Meanwhile, their own civilians had zero. What does that tell you about gun control? If you can't figure that out on your own, then you're hopeless. Not only do we need to have other options available, we need to have the skill to create some weapons we might need. Now, we have silent weapons and primitive weapons. You got bows, long bows, crossbows, compound bows. I know. You just go ahead and say something. I know you're dying to. Do it now.
I did. I just said yay.
Okay.
I love my bows.
Right.
That's my weapon of choice.
I know it is.
It's a good weapon for women because we don't have a lot of physical strength for maybe different aspects, but anybody can shoot a bow.
It takes some practice to become proficient at it with it. Now,
it's
all
like
this
shooting
is both
a gun or anything else.
Right. It offers both advantages and disadvantages. While a bow is a stealthy weapon, it's also hard to conceal, depending on what kind of bow you've got.
There are other options.
How about
slingshots?
Quite a few options available when it comes to a slingshot type weapon, like the sling bow and the pocket shot. I've seen that. These do require some practice and skill, but could be used for small game hunting. How about the atlatl and spears? Pretty much difficult to master, but it can be done. It's very simple to make compared to, say, a longbow. I actually knew a kid in high school who had this. He had a blowgun. It sounds like a bit of a novelty, but it could be used to take down small game quietly, and you can make either your own or buy a new one if you want. You got walking sticks. Just a carved piece of driftwood. You could do hiking, trail, walking, a tool like this. You know, your imagination is your only limit. If you get a walking stick, you can do quite a bit of defensive tactics with it if you practice with it. How about edged weapons? This is right up Julie's alley, I guarantee it. Knives. There are so many options when it comes to knives, it's hard to make any suggestions. You have folding knives.
I like machetes.
I was surprised when I heard you say that. You kind of scare me, but that's all right. I can live with it.
I have a tomahawk, too, and it's got...
That scares me, too.
It's got a long handle on it because you get the reach, and there's some really, really, really good self-defense videos on YouTube with some of the martial artists teaching you how to protect yourself with a tomahawk.
Right.
And my problem is I was a martial artist at one time before I lost my knees and the rest of it. And so my balance is crap. You could probably come up and push me over with a finger if you were so inclined at times. But I knew that I was going to have to come up with a way to defend myself. And they have something called Kane Fu, C-A-N-E, new word, F-U. And it's for people with disabilities and wheelchairs, people that, like myself, that have balance issues. And it teaches you how to defend yourself with a walking stick or a cane or things like that. And it's extremely creative. And so I just took it to the next level and started seeing if I could incorporate a tomahawk in that as well. And it's surprisingly fun. That's all I'll say about that.
I'm never, ever going into the woods with you for any reason. I don't care what the reason is.
I'm weak
you.
And helpless. What?
Yeah.
I'm
you also have
helpless,
throwing knives.
Really.
Well, no, you got throwing knives.
Yes, I do. I got neck pecs. My husband had them.
Right.
My kids throw their knives. That's the other thing, though. You know, there's a lot of things you can throw. We talked about the eggs with the pepper spray in them. And you can shoot those with slings. You can make all sorts of giant slingshots, too. There's lots of stuff. You know, my son would be a good one for alternative weapons. He's crazy.
You know, and he's not crazy. That's called being creative, working with what you have. Because, like at the beginning of the article, Dale says, eventually ammo will run out, and unless you're skilled at making ammo, or you got to have all the pieces to make the ammo work anyways. And don't forget about swords and axes. You know, swords and axes; those are ancient weapons. They've been around since day one.
For a reason.
Exactly.
Yep.
Now I want you to think about something. For those of you that are watching the quote-unquote protesters in Charlotte. I was watching it. It was Wednesday night, right after the show. They showed this. This is great because it's the first time I've actually seen it in actual use. They show this kid, or punk, whatever he is. I don't know what he was. It was kind of a distant shot. Tear gas grenade goes off by him. He goes to kick it back towards the skirmish line. As he does so, he starts, flipping off the police and everything else. All of a sudden, you see him grab his arm, and he goes, and you get this, if there was sound on it, you'd hear the guy going, ah! And then he turns around and runs away. And I said, so I stopped the DVR, backed it up. I said, I gotta watch this again. What we're seeing in there is this. He's being hit with pepper balls. It's like a paintball gun, but it fires pepper balls, spray balls.
Yep.
And so I must have watched that for 5 minutes, cracking up, watching him, flip off the police. All of a sudden you just see him go, and he starts running away. It's like, oh, that's great stuff. And the wife says, she goes, what are you giggling about? I said, he's getting hit with pepper balls. She goes, what? I said, yeah, pepper balls. I said, it's like a paint gun, but it shoots pepper balls. Now, does it sting when you get hit with the pepper ball? Yes, because once the pepper ball hits you, the impact, it stings a little bit, but the pepper ball then breaks apart, and you get pepper spray. You get the cayenne pepper. Hopefully the pepper balls had at least 1.5 million Scoville units to do the job. I didn't see him in any other shots after that, after he ran away. So, don't forget about pipe shotguns, muzzle loaders, pellet air guns, all that stuff. Tasers,
Have you seen the taser knife?
Now, why the hell would you want to stab somebody and taser? I mean, come on, pick one or the other.
It's overkill.
It could be. It could be.
Now,
it's like,
what is off limits here? Because I have a room full of teenagers that have some really horrible ideas, but I know you don't want the NSA coming down on you.
I'm sure I'm already on the no-fly list. I'm sure of it. I haven't tried.
Wasn't at my last check. So.
I don't want to spend the money on an airline ticket to find out I'm on the no-fly list.
You're on the no-fly.
I would rather have just come up and say, or just, send me a letter saying, look, you're on the no-fly list. This is why. Okay, fine. I don't really care. I'm not planning on leaving the country anyways. I'm too scared to leave the country. There's enough here in my country to see and do. I don't need to go out to other countries.
I may have to put this in my own show. Creative, but they're kind of scary.
Are these the creations from your boys?
Yes, and they involve many, many
I don't even want to know. I do not want to know. I've got my own problems.
They involve explosives.
Oh, by the way. Oh, good Lord. No, great. No, I got ATF coming at us.
I don't know what I can say on this and what I can't.
Rather have the ATF come to your house than mine. I got my own issues. I don't need them. One thing that I want you to understand.
As a disclaimer, we don't make them. These are just ideas.
All right, there you go. True story coming up. True story, and I want you all to – I want the listeners to be aware of this because this is important. No, it's a true story, really. Last week, one of the guys that I know from the local tavern was a dumbass. Oh, no. No, no, no. Somehow, political discussion started going. He got pissed off and he left. Went home, went to Facebook, and types out for the world to see, Hillary Clinton needs to take one to the eyes. Hillary Clinton needs to take one between the eyes. That was all he wrote. He was that pissed off. Guess who's knocking on his door 48 hours later?
Oh, you're kidding.
I kid you not. Now, this is what I'm talking about. You have to be smart. Do not put yourself in the position... Just because, look, politics gets everybody crazy. Take a breath. Don't be saying stupid shit that's going to – look, Whether it's true or not, she used to take one between the eyes, I don't know. Do I think, you know, I would just assume, say this. She's not my choice. She and her kind will never, ever be my choice. I would rather just see them waste away from in their own little world. You know, I've always been a big fan of segregation of the states. Liberal states, you are go be by yourselves. Good luck to you. Conservative states, we will go on to live long and prosper, as the Spock man would say. But don't sit there and get crazy and scream for the death of one candidate or the other, because you are going to get a visit from the Treasury Department.
Absolutely. That's why I say,
They just talked to him. He told him what happened. You know what? They left. They didn't take him along. They didn't arrest him. But they are charged with investigating every threat. And I get that. I understand it. So with that said, be smart. Don't be sitting there on Facebook saying Hillary Clinton needs to take one between the eyes, because you're going to get a visit. You will get a visit. And you should get a visit. If you're that crazy enough to sit there and bitch about it in public, you know what? You're gonna get a visit. Like I said, they didn't arrest him. They found him. They talked to him. Asked him, what the hell are you doing? What the hell are you talking about? You know what? Done. It's over. But I don't want to see any of our listeners getting caught in that trick bag either. I do not want to see that. And I don't want to hear about it, because you've been warned. If it happens, you're on your own. I've told you not to do that. If you choose to do it, you know, then you do it. That's your choice. I'm just telling you, it does happen, and they will come visiting you. I love RC. Do you like RC?
Yes.
Royal Crown Gold. Yeah, love Royal Crown. RC is the best.
That used to be the best. The other thing I like is Werner's Ginger Ale from your coast.
I like that one, too.
We don't get it over here very often, but they used to make it in barrels, and it was really, it would just burn your nose off. I loved that. We don't get it anymore.
I like RC. The only thing I like RC, I think it's better than Coke and Pepsi, especially put on some ice. It only cost $1 for a 2-liter bottle. $1. Look at what they're charging for Coke and Pepsi. It's like, really? Okay. I'll take the RC. I like RC quite a bit. Always have. All right. This is a show for preppers and patriots, not for connoisseurs of Royal Crown Cola, though it does have the John Jeffers seal of approval on it. Okay. Getting back to it. So, you know, you can use kitchen utensils as weapons. You could use garden tools as weapons. And speaking of garden tools, ever hear of what the hell would they call it? The PR-24?
No.
Side handle baton?
No.
The PR-24, yeah. It used to be real popular until Rodney King came along and they misused the weapon. And now all departments are, you can't have a PR-24. That, believe it or not, was a garden tool, a farming implement from Okinawa. The Japanese farmers were using the PR-24.
They make a lot of good stuff.
It was just a basic gardening tool that they managed to adapt into a weapon. So, you know. Just remember, garden tools, screwdrivers, pitchforks, shovels, screwdriver, all can be used as weapons in a pinch. Now, remember, these are, you know, using garden tools, baseball bats, kitchen utensils, meat tenderizers, whatever. Those are all up close and personal weapons. Might you get hurt using them? You might get injured. Might you get cut? You might. You might not. It depends on your skill level, if you practice, and if you know what the hell you're doing. That's why I urge all preppers to take a defensive tactics course. Not defensive firearm tactics, defensive tactics, that is open-handed, close-handed, defensive martial art, some type of martial art, to at least give yourself some kind of an advantage, some kind of training, you know, something that you could use. Look,
You're not always be able to go. You will not always be able to get your firearm right away for whatever reason. For whatever reason, you might not be able to get to it. You need to be able to know how to do, you know, strikes and certain wrist locks, hand locks, and that kind of thing, and how to successfully navigate it and get out and then get your firearm or knife from Mr. Fleming. Mr. Fleming's knives, I'm sure, can be used as a weapon as well. You wanted to say something?
Yeah, on the conflicted page, we had this once, and a lot of people have suggested wasp spray.
I've seen that.
And it's supposed to be very effective, and it has a long range to it. But the thing that most people say is it's considered a chemical weapon, so
right.
by
it
the
is.
Laws, in your area, your state, your county, whatever, you have to check the laws in that.
Well, it attacks the central nervous system. That's why it's a chemical weapon.
Okay.
And it's, you know what? But if it's a grid down situation, you won't have to worry. You will not have to worry about state, county, or anybody else's laws. No one's going to come up to you saying, I'm from the EPA, and you're in violation of using this wasp spray to kill this attacker. I don't know what to do now. I'm going to wring my hands. No. No one's going to be coming and checking on it. Just like the grid goes down, the FCC is not going to worry about who on ham radio has a license and who doesn't have a ham license. They're going to have their hands full doing other things. That's not one of them.
Absolutely.
But
on the same thing, you can use hairspray and a lighter.
Oh, flamethrower. How nice. Do-it-yourself flamethrower from the bathrooms and bedrooms of every woman in the United States comes.
Absolutely.
Women
are flamethrower.
Not... Why wouldn't they use it?
Well,
just got to be careful.
Absolutely.
Got to be careful, you. You got to be careful with it.
Well, and but, once know. Again, these are all things to protect yourself in a situation where
right.
your
right.
life is in danger. You know, these aren't things that we go out and play with necessarily. But
weapons are only limited to your imagination.
Absolutely. We taught our kids everything is a weapon. You know, if you're running from somebody or you're trapped in your house, you know, anything that's thrown will make somebody flinch. It's an automatic response.
Right.
So, I mean, the idea is if you don't have a weapon, is to get away. Now, obviously, somebody with a gun, you're a little bit handicapped. But we did it once with our kids. You know, you run through the house and you just fling whatever comes your way, pillows, whatever, and it's hard not to flinch and put your hands up to block your face because...
I'm so glad you said pillows because I'm thinking other things you're throwing at each other as you're running through your house.
Oh, I'm not going to throw... No, these were kids. They were little. But, you know,
they were
we'd go out in the yard and they'd say, well, how about a leaf? How can you protect yourself with leaves? I said, you know, you get somebody a big old handful of wet, mucky leaves right in the face, they can't see. I mean, you know, these were when they were little kids and we were
before you
to...
turned them into a domestic terrorist, yes.
Yes, exactly. Hey, they don't do any of that.
Adult supervision?
They see it on those Call of Duty and all those other things. I don't know what they do.
All right, Well, that's what I wanted to just talk about tonight. I didn't want to make it into a long episode. Like I said, people got things to do. They got to get, you know, got to get to work tomorrow and all that stuff. But so for Lou, you know, thinking about it, hopefully you got some ideas. You know, she listens to the show while she does her gardening, and she does listen to your show, Julie. I sent you her email, so she does like your show. So you got one more listener.
Ooh,
but we like
four.
Her. And it's very. By the way, if you run in, you know what? If you happen to know somebody in England, just ask them what they think about London. And you know what? You're going to get a very pointed response
about what's going on in that city. And they aren't happy about it. But, you know, people deserve the government that they choose.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you got that, you know, I think I mentioned it before last week when the London mayor was in New York talking to de Blasio, and he tells de Blasio, well, you just got to get used to the terror attacks. And de Blasio, being the rocket scientist that he is, just nods his head like a, you know, a bobblehead doll. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. You know, he's a brainstem. Most. Yeah. So I, like I said, people in New York, you have my sympathies, but like I said, you get what you vote for. You deserve what you get. So think hard and long about voting. There are ramifications for voting, and unfortunately, sometimes they're not all that pleasant. With that said, okay. Well, don't forget, listeners, we've got the CRN T-shirts on sale. I keep promoting that on the Facebook page. We've got the giveaway coming up October 19th. Mr. Fleming's going to – I get old Mr. Fleming. We're going to get that knife in there, and we will tell you – like I said, do you want to get on the knife giveaway? Cool. Those of you that are already Patreon.com donors to Contrario Network, you're already entered into that giveaway.
So can I win in the giveaway? Or is that
No.
Conflict of interest?
No. Yes. Okay.
So is that all yes, right. I can enter and no, it's not a conflict of interest? Or is it?
All right, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, my little rocket scientist. If you win, people are going. Well, it's a perception.
I know it. I'm just yanking chains now. Sorry.
You know what? They're gonna.
But I really, really want the knife.
Well, then go order one.
I'm just commenting. Oh no, he does. Yeah. Okay, fine.
Do not make me come through this internet. Do not make me do it.
Yeah, I know. One foot in the grave. All right. Well, I'm going to end with that. I'm leaving.
Yes, you are.
You guys have a good night.
All right. Good night, Julie.
If anybody wins the knife and you can't have it, like the guy that won the backpack, but it was too expensive, you can send it to me because then it's not a conflict of interest. Just giving you food for thought.
Make or buy it. Don't give her a damn thing. Make or buy it.
Have a good night, you guys.
All right. Good night, Julie. Thanks for calling. All right. That was Julie McKinley from Ladies of the Watch on Saturday nights here on the Contra Radio Network. I got Foil Hat Soldier. He was in there. You know, we were talking about half hour ago about people hunting when the grid is down. And a lot of things this is from Foil Hat Soldier. He says, my mom's family survived enlarged by and by poaching deer during the Depression. And the 1930s were a serious, serious economic disaster and collapse, which you already know. The thing is, a lot of the people that survived that really aren't, there aren't that many really alive left today. They're all in their, you know, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Most of them don't remember it. Some are only kids when it happened. So they really don't know what their parents were going through trying to feed them. So just like I say, I'm not sitting here making this crap up. I can't. I'm not that smart. I'm not that creative to make things up like that. That's not what I do. All right. So we got the giveaway. We also got the Wise Food 5-day bug out bag giveaway. That's being drawn on October 19th. You want in on that? Email me, ContraRadioLive.com. Bug out bag in the subject line. I'll put you in the pool, and on October 19th, we'll draw it. What else did I forget? Did I forget anything else? I don't think so. Let me think. What else? We got the merchant offer. We did that. Waiting for Average Joe. He owes me two episodes to to make up because Average Joe tips. He got stuck on an out of town business trip and got screwed up that way. So he owes me two episodes. We'll get hit that hopefully by Wednesday, and we'll get caught up there. I think, and don't forget about FlemingsFabrications.net. If you want a quality handmade knife, customized just for you. Visit Fleming'sFabrications.net. Good man, Mr. Fleming called in tonight. You won't be sorry. We talked about the giveaway, and we talked about the shirts. So the shirts right now range in sizes from medium to 2XL. We're going to be expanding. We're starting our second run now. So they'll be different. I don't know if it's going to be the same design or it might be a different design. I don't know yet. Got to get a hold of Kirk for that one. All right. What else? I think that's it for tonight. I think that's what we got going on. Oh, what's this? I got a caller. What happened here? Go ahead, caller. How you doing?
Hey, John. How you doing? This is Charles.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Charles from Nebraska. He was our winner on the first bug out bag. Would you care to give the listeners your assessment of the bug out bag that you won?
Oh, let me see. I think I sent you an email. You should have gotten it.
I did.
This
but
morning.
I want to hear. The listeners want to hear from you.
Yeah, that should. let me see. I tried typing up the email as you know, as a. And as a
I saw. No, I got it. I read. I thought it was interesting.
Where'd it go? I can't find it now. I think I sent it to myself.
Well, just do it. You don't have to do it word for word. Just off the top of your head. Was it
overall,
worth the giveaway?
Was it worth an email? Yes, it was worth signing up for the contest and winning and receiving the backpack. And like I mentioned in the email response, it's a starter, basic starter entry backpack for a prepper. It's not the sure all end all product because I believe YSU was just trying to make a generic abstract product that they can have on the market to sell just to the average individual to get them started. And
right.
So the owner should take, you know, some responsibility in beefing up the backpack there. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I really enjoy it, and I'll probably share it with someone after I beef it up there just a little bit. So I gave it 3 out of 4 stars. I tried not using my prepper or I can't really think of, I can't even use the word. Remember what I said? But basically, I just tried. You know, if I was coming at it basically from the beginning, from scratch, that you know this is a good starting point for a person. So I just called in to say hi and make sure that you got the email. And that's basically it. And ask the listeners to support the show, support the people, that the guests that you have on, and sign up for the contest.
They're real. Real people are winning.
So,
other people that can't win are, of course, myself, Julie, and Terry. And that's all because they're here on the show. Well, you know, I don't want the perception that, you know, let's say legitimately Terry won. Is anybody
mm-hmm.
really going to believe that Terry really won? Terry will believe
no.
it. No one else will. So I just, you know what, let's, you know, sorry, Julie, sorry, Terry. You guys can't win. And I don't want to put the show, myself, in that position. This is for people like you, real people, average people, just trying to get prepped, hoping it's done right, trying to, you know, prepare for whatever, shall we say, scenario occurs, and that we can live through it.
Correct. Because I was in Yellowstone National Park the week of Labor Day weekend, and
mm-hmm.
I met a gentleman, and somehow we got on a conversation about property. And he goes,
"Oh, really?
Are you one of those?" Yeah. And it was on the Uncle Tom's Trail. I don't know how much you know about that particular trail within Yellowstone, but it's a 1,000-foot drop to go to one area to view the
mm-hmm.
fall from this location, and you have to climb back up. And on the way back up, like I said, we got somehow started on prepper, and he goes, "So are you one of those doomsday prepper?" I go, "No, I'm prepping for an unexpected event." you know, try not to come off as, you know, one of those hysterical individuals that are trying to, you know, save the world or save themselves, but no, I just try to, you know, prepare my family and protect my family for an unexpected event, you know.
Right.
That's basically where I left it, you know. So. But
what was his response to that?
Basically, kind of did what you just said. They're like, okay, so you're not one of those individuals that we saw on the Discovery Channel or the History Channel that's, you know, whacked out, you know, someone that you make fun of. You know, I seem, I try to come off as an intelligent person. I don't know if
right.
I did, but just try to be, you know, just like him, just an ordinary person that's trying to, like I said, do the best to protect his family or his loved ones in case of a time of emergency, you know?
Good.
So,
you know, that Doomsday Preppers on National Geographic did more harm than good for the prepper lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like I said, they actually emailed me and asked me if I would be on the show, and I knew. I said no. I declined. Because one thing I've learned over the years was never, ever trust the media. Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because no matter what you say, they'll quote you out of context. We've seen how that works out. They'll quote you out of context. They'll make you out to be something that you're not. And I don't care what kind of assurances they give you, they will do it. Don't ever, ever, ever volunteer to say or do anything at the media, because they will make you out to be what they want you to be. We actually, I had some guy, we had some kind of an, I don't remember what the incident was, but it was that a reporter showed up at church, and one of the guys says, "Oh, hey, John, you want to talk to the reporter?" I said, "Nope." He said, I said, "Nope." And the reporter stand there flabbergasted. And I finally walked over to him. I said, "Because you'll quote me out of context, you will take what I say and twist it." And he says, no, I promise I won't do it." I said, "Not a chance. Not happening." I said, "Go do with these people. I've been around your kind before. I am never, ever going to trust the media to do what they're supposed to do, because they can't be trusted. And it's just because they're people, and they have their preconceived notions, and they're going to make you out to be what they want you to be, no matter what they tell you. So do yourself a favor, and don't ever, ever, under any circumstances, talk to the media. I don't do it for any reason."
All right, I'll take that warning. I will take that warning. Like I said, I didn't want to keep my conversation with the gentleman just brief and not, you know,
badger him about what I'm doing
and whatnot. Say that
right,
again?
And that's what you do. Keep it short and sweet. They want to know, they'll ask more questions.
Exactly. So, but I just want to call in and give, you know, everyone, say, you know, support the show, support the guest, and please send in an email to John to sign up for these contests that he's holding.
Oops. Well, we got two of them now. We got the knife, and we got the 5-day bug-out bag. So, yeah.
Oh, also, yeah, I want to mention I received my T-shirts that I ordered from, I think, I don't remember the gentleman's name out in California.
Oh, Kirk?
Kirk, yes. So
you
I
like
ordered
the t-shirts?
Two T-shirts last weekend after the show, and I was gone this weekend and visited my mailbox, and there they were. So it roughly took about 4 days to get here, five. So I like them.
Are they good quality
shirts?
Do you think they're good quality shirts?
Yes, I do. Sorry about the hesitation there. Yes.
Well, you know, it's not a question I ask everybody, but you know, you're one of the first people that ordered them and have gotten them. So,
but yes, I think it's a good quality shirt. I think people will like it. Will be impressed with it, and I think it will. Others will ask you about it, you know, a little bit more about this Spencer Radio Network program.
Cool. So. Very cool indeed. Thank you for ordering the shirts, my friend. You've been a long time listener. And I'm just out of curiosity of what when I was talking to Mr. Fleming, he said, I've been listening to your show since you started it. That was 2.5 years ago. How long have you been listening to us?
I want to say pretty close to 14 months now.
14 months.
14,
all right, cool.
14 months. So, and like you've mentioned before, you know, it's very laid back. It's just guys and now gals just communicating, talking with one another, getting ideas from off of one another. But that's how we learn. And you said, you know, you ask callers to call in, and we'd be able to talk to them just like they're person right next door. You know,
right.
We all have the same beliefs, and we're all treated the same. All the conversations I've heard you have, they're all basically the same. You know, you don't criticize. You try to help out.
Right.
You know? So that's what
Very
I like.
Good.
And I think that's the reason why the listenership is growing.
It is. That is true.
So I just wish that the listeners would contribute more and participate more
and other things.
But a lot of listeners are.
It does. It does. And, you know, this is a niche audience. This is not a cover all topics talk show. It just isn't. It's very niche oriented for preppers and patriots.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we don't always get the patriot stuff, but like we all know, the patriot subculture crosses over into the prepper subculture, and very often they're one and the same person. So
correct. So
you know, that's and like you said, we're just people. We're just talking. I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be an expert, and I don't think there is any such thing as a prepping expert, unless you lived off the grid for 12 months or more, and you didn't have anything else, you know, you didn't have electricity or anything else. You just lived off the land, literally. Then maybe you are a prepping expert, but until that time, I've never run across anybody that's remotely close to doing that. So, yeah, we're just average people, just trying to get the word out. That's all. Are we right all the time? No. Are we wrong sometimes? Sometimes we are, but that's okay. I can't, you know, try to be right. Try to get the right information out there. That's all we can do.
Yep.
Case in point, you've been listening for a long time. You know what my stand was about food expiration on the cans. I've changed position on that entirely. And you know, that's because, you know, as I started looking at it more and reading more about it, it's like, you know what? I'm wrong on that. The expiration on the can doesn't have a damn thing to do with it anymore. It's just because some people get crazy about it. So, yeah, just an example. So, there you have it. There it is. It is. That's what it is.
Well, I'm not going to take up any more time.
All right, buddy.
I'll holler at you and tell the listeners, you know, sign up for these contests that you're holding and please try to help out the show and the guests.
All righty. Thank you, Chuck. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Charles.
Bye.
All right. Good night. That was Charles in Nebraska, the first winner of our bug out bag giveaway. We got another one October 19th. You want to join in the giveaway? Email contraradio@live.com. Subject line: bug out bag giveaway, and I'll put you in the pool. Doesn't cost you nothing. It's free. I'm giving it away. I put my money where my mouth is. I want to help people get preppers because I don't want you people knocking on my door saying, can I have some food and water? Because the answer is going to be no. You are irresponsible when times are good. I will not be responsible unless you have a really, really coveted skill that my prepper group needs, in which case, exceptions will be made. But until that time, the answer is no. All right. That said. All right, my friends. I want to cut it short now. They said, it's a Sunday night. Thanks for listening. Now, we will be back. What's today? It's Sunday night. We'll be back Wednesday night for the Roundtable Report, 8 p.m. Central Daylight Time. Hopefully, we will have Terry back. He's got a prior engagement this evening that he could not break, and that's okay. I've often done this show by myself. I can do it again and again and again. But I do enjoy having callers come in. It makes the show a bit more interesting. All right. So don't forget about all that stuff we got. And if you want to be a donor, you know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to be supporting. Okay, great stuff. Great stuff, good stuff tonight, good show. Had a good time with it. Thanks for calling in. Don't forget to check out Mr. Fleming's website, flemingsfabrications.net. You want a good survival knife, a person that's customized for you, that's the man to see. All right. I'm John Jeffers here at the Contra Radio Network saying to my Prepper and Patriot friends, you know it and I know it. Be safe, be alert, and be vigilant. I'm John Jeffers. Thank you again for listening to Contra Radio Network. Good night.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Welcome to Total Wine and More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine and More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in store or online at TotalWine.com.